Hello, everyone. Welcome to Horizon Podcast, Episode 7, a podcast empowering women to heal, overcome trauma, and embrace change through our community. We strive to inspire women to create a future where they lead with love, confidence, and courage, helping break boundaries and reach new horizons. Hi, sis.
Hello. Welcome to Episode 7.
Episode 7.
Yay.
Yay!
Just in time for the holidays.
Just in time for the holidays.
So today we want to talk about the holidays because although they can be a very memorable time of the year, it can be very hard for some people as well.
Right.
So we want to talk about how the holidays impact you in a negative way, per se. And maybe positive ways too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can all relate to like the holidays being a time where you gather with each other.
Right. It's about family, getting together with the family, mm-hmm. friends, being around cousins, aunts, people that you like or you don't like.
You know? Yeah, people that you are maybe not normally around.
Right.
Gather with for the holiday season specifically. So people that maybe you only see once a year.
True. Like it's holidays or funerals, unfortunately, or, you know.
Yeah.
Those rare occasions or those once a year occasions.
Yeah. And some people are like, thank God, like I only have to see them.
How many years are like dreading to go to Thanksgiving and see someone you don't want to see? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
We don't have that because
you have to mingle with all the family and, you know, be nice or try to be nice and respectful to everyone. Because you only see them maybe this time of year. But
right.
I think also like the holidays, even if you are around people, you know, it brings reminders of like loss and loved ones that are no longer with us.
Definitely could be a hard time for some people, for sure.
Yeah. So it brings out like loneliness or grief. Why?
Adjusting to, you know, them not being here if it's a loss.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, like, why do you think that is? But I think we know because it's a time of, like, gathering and, like, bringing people together that it can just be that reminder that someone's missing.
For sure.
Or multiple people are missing, and that can bring a lot of sadness and loneliness. There's also, like, a pressure to be, like, happy.
Right. And I think that, I mean, the holidays are, you know, cheerful happiness, but at the same time, you know, they are sad. They are sometimes can be depressive, you know?
Yeah, they can be very sad and depressing because I think people are like, oh, you're supposed to be happy. It's the holidays. Like it's a time of gathering. It's a time of giving back. It's a time of giving thanks. But yeah, the holidays can be very melancholic.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. It can be like reminders of things that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And from people to material items to, you know, just everything. So I think it's hard to get past those things. And, like, remember what the holidays really stand for.
Truly are about, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it has gotten lost in translation.
Of course, and I feel like social media definitely hasn't helped that at all.
Yeah, so we see people, like, posting pictures, and everything's picture perfect, and, like, they have the perfect tree, and, like, the perfect family.
And just a bunch of gifts under the tree or like, you know, it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Even like they're traveling all over the place. Like they're in the snow. Like all of that can be very deceptive.
Yes.
because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors and things are not always as they seem.
No.
There's a lot of things that we don't know about that we're not going to be aware of that we frankly don't, like, it's not our business to know about anyway, you know? So, but I think it's important to look at social media and understand that this may or may not be reality, okay?
And just try to not, I think, to compare your life to what you see on social media, because that can be more depressive towards you. It's not reality. It's just clips and parts and pictures and, you know, of what people decide to share. So it may look a certain way, but we don't know the reality behind.
Yeah, like that. What if, like, they got into a fight before they took that picture?
Why was I thinking that too?
Yeah.
Yes, seriously. And I feel like around these times, I don't know, I feel like couples sometimes can fight, right? Especially if you have to go back and forth between families, that can create arguments. Stress levels are high, anxiety's through the roof. Yeah. So, you know, they're probably arguing in the car prior to walking in. And I know a lot of people can relate to that because I've heard that a lot and I see that a lot. A disagreement happened, you know, and they argue and then they walk in and everything's fine. And it's just that, you know, that's what they're portraying.
That's the picture, the front they're putting forward. Yeah, that's like really valid because, you know, families have to split their time
for sure
between both families. Like, and that can be really hard to decide which family to spend it at. Are the families going to get mad at you for not choosing them?
Right. Or having to split. Some people want to make it happen, right? And they have to split half of the day with one, half of the day with other. That is stressful. Been there, done that. I remember that. That was very stressful, having to, like, we're going to eat here for a little bit and then we're going to go over there and eat here for a little bit. And I'm like, but I'm already full. And I get to my mom's house and it's like, well, you're not going to eat my food. And I'm just like, I'm full already. But it's about being together, gathering with the family, you know?
And so the holidays are overrated. Just kidding.
Low key, they are. Yes, they are. I agree.
Just kidding. I think, you know, go out of your way to do stuff that actually feels good and fun. And, like, don't get caught up in, like, I'm supposed to be happy. Like, I have all these things that I'm grateful for, which, mind you, you can always find gratitude in the smallest things.
The smallest things.
Yeah. But I think, you know, being honest with how you're actually feeling, like, hey, maybe I am feeling a little sad. Maybe I am feeling a little bit lonely. Like, let me go hang out with some friends or do something that brings, like, actual joy, right? Because it's the holidays and joy is very, like, out there, like, be joyful. And
I think that if you're not okay with going over to somebody's family or if you're not okay going over to someone's home or seeing someone you don't want to see, you have every right to not go, or you have every right to, if you do go, respectfully, you know, keep your space from someone that you don't want to see it and be okay with that. Don't force yourself to have a relationship. I guess keep it cordial, respectful, and keep it, you know, keep your space.
Yeah. And this is where boundaries are super important.
For sure.
Right? Because maybe you only see them around this time of the year, but family gatherings can be very difficult. They can bring out conflict, like tension.
Very stressful, for sure.
Very stressful, yeah. And it's like, suddenly you remember why you only see them once a year, you know?
Yes.
And so I think knowing that, okay, I put this boundary in place, and if they cross this boundary, then I'll have to make a choice and maybe I have to leave.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I think that, you know, you need to really pay attention to how you feel and what's the word? Embrace it, be okay with it, and keep, like she said, keep that boundary where, you know, how far you're willing to go or allow them to go. And
yeah, because family dynamics are very complicated, and you know, we can set that boundary there. Doesn't mean they're going to respect it, but we can try to like communicate and, you know, get on the same page, at least that like maybe we'll agree to disagree, but it's the holidays. So let's try to make the most of the time that we have together.
Right.
But if that doesn't work out, well, then, you know, you have to leave, then you have to leave. That's,
you showed up, you ate, you said hi to everybody, and you keep it pushing.
Yeah, or maybe you just set a time limit for yourself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, I'll go hang out for a few hours, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever that looks like to you. And then I'll, you know, go about the rest of my day or the rest of my night. And that could be a limitation. That can be a boundary as well. Because you know what they say, like after a certain hour, like nothing good happens. So
maybe you don't want to stay there for the aftermath of all that.
Yeah.
Especially if people are like enjoying themselves and drinking. And you already know that some uncles or some or somebody just doesn't know how to hold their alcohol. It's time for, you know, you to go.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then when we talk about families, obviously gift giving and all of that, like I think our society has such a huge like emphasis on gift giving, materialism, like, you know, we see a million ads, a million Black Friday
deals,
holiday sales. Specials. Mm-hmm. Like the way we live here in the United States, it's a lot of consumerism. It's a lot of materialism and it can like literally consume you because you're bombarded with like all these ads, all these specials, all these sales where you feel like...
The holidays used to be about what, sis? Like family getting together with your loved ones and enjoying each other's company and time because you hardly don't see each other, maybe, right? And it's turned into like materialistic. It's turned into who got the better gift or what did I get my kids or, you know, social media has made it like this is what I get my kids and other people are comparing. It's yeah, definitely not what it used to be.
Or like, how many gifts did I get myself? Just kidding. But I think, you know, it's hard to really remember what the true meaning of the holidays is. And I mean, what do you think the true meanings of the holidays are?
It's being around the ones that you love. It's spending that quality time in this joyous time. And making memories, honestly, that's what it means to me because my kids are getting older and, you know, they're going to have, you know, one day their own family. And I just, for me, I try to cherish every moment that I can. And now, you know, me being a single mom, I look forward to making traditions with my children and activities and time. I've turned Christmas into it's actually my first year where I'm not going to. I told them I'm going to buy them a gift they need and a gift they want, but I rather take them somewhere. So I'm turning Christmas into more of a vacation type of thing. This year we're doing a little staycation, but my goal is to Christmas have a vacation planned because my thing is time. My money will, obviously I'm going to spend the same amount that I would spend on gifts, which they get whatever they need all year around. I'm blessed to be able to provide that for them or my family to provide that for them. So I don't really want to make it materialistic that much. I want to make it more like spending time together.
Yeah.
That's valuable. My memories are spending time with my children and being together, honestly. You know, I have pictures, I have videos. I take a lot of pictures, videos. I'm one of those that I capture every moment because that's what you have to look back at as they get older. So that's my thing.
Yeah, I love that actually. Heavy on the experiences, right?
If you can,
traveling, vacationing, that sounds like a beautiful thing. If you can't, you know, I think there's experiences you can create in your own home.
Oh, for sure. Some places, right? You can just, even if it's going down to what do we have here in the Inland Empire? We have the Mission Inn. Even if it's going down and walking the Mission Inn, even if it's going driving somewhere, I think they have like a lot of drive-through, like
Christmas lights.
It doesn't have to be like expensive or crazy. You know, it's just, it's honestly with children, is they just want your time.
Yeah.
That's being honest.
Yeah, I mean,
happy time, not stressful, anxiety through the roof, they're getting on your nerves. Like, you have to be in a positive state. You have to be happy. You have to give them that time where it's meaningful, and they don't, because if you try to create memories with time and you're upset or you're frustrated or you don't have patience for your children, then that, what's the purpose of even trying to do it? Because they're going to remember, I remember when mommy and dad were mad or they were arguing or whatever in the car. But you're trying to create a memory with them, so that's what they remember. So I think it's also learning to control your emotions in that situation. Remember what it is about, and it's spending happy, joyous, quality time.
Yeah. I mean, patience is a virtue for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just remember, like, the holidays come and go, and these are core memories. If you have kids, well, absolutely for your kids, but like for yourself too. Like, if you're an adult, like without kids, you know, you want to create those memories and just have good time, and, you know, just create those happy memories that are going to be nostalgic for you, and you want to look back. And, you know, it could, all in all, it contributes to like just having a good life and living and being happy and living with gratitude.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, why do the holidays feel so nostalgic? Like, is it just me, or like the holidays are like, they bring you nostalgia?
Why do they bring you nostalgia?
I think it's because every holiday season you're reminded of something.
Okay.
And sometimes that thing can be specific. And so nostalgia, like, I don't know, nostalgia can be like bittersweet sometimes.
For sure. I think that, you know, it's the end of the year. It's the holidays, and also I feel like, you know, you're kind of thinking about the accomplishments and everything that's gone through the year, maybe, and where you're at that moment in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the bittersweet can come in, because it's sweet because, you know, it's the holidays, it's joyful, it's you know, it's...
Yeah, that's very true. You're getting ready to end a year.
Yeah, so you look at... I think it's kind of like... with birthdays, as you get older, it kind of gets like that too, where like you look at yourself and, what did I accomplish this year? Where am I at in life? Where's my career going? Or maybe I want to start a family, like things like that. So I think birthdays and, you know, kind of the end of the year where the holidays fall kind of bring that nostalgia out, and where it could be bittersweet.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a time of reflection too.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And getting ready to like, did I accomplish the goals, or, you know, the, what is that called? The New Year's resolutions, goals that I set for myself, and maybe think about the new ones coming up, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I see how that can bring pressure too.
Oh, yeah.
I actually stopped making like New Year's resolutions like many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, whatever this year brings, it brings, you know, like,
I love that.
I'm open to whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a general direction that I want to go in.
Okay.
And like continuing making those steps in that direction. But like going into the year, like there are no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be grateful with whatever this year brings. Hopefully I have happiness and good health. You know, happiness is fleeting, so moments of happiness. And I think that is a good way to go into it, you know?
Yeah, I actually had that similar mentality last year. But this year I decided to bring back the New Year's resolutions, because I figured, you know, I'm a little bit, to me, it's a little bit more structural. So if I give myself certain goals for me to look back towards and accomplish, to me, that's where the, so last year I was like, I'm not going to do resolutions, whatever it is, but I feel like organized more for me. It's, I rather do this year. I do plan to do New Year's resolutions within myself, maybe something that I can write down and maybe towards the end of the year, be like, what did I accomplish? And then kind of cross it off. So that's kind of how I'm looking at my New Year's resolutions or my goals for 2025 this year. So like, I'm just trying to find what works for me. So I think it just depends on everybody. But I did hear that a lot last year where like resolutions, why are you like, I mean, just find what works for you.
Yeah. And it can change for sure. Right? Like yeah, one year you can totally have resolutions. The next year you're just like, this is a free year, you for know, sure. Like whatever happens, happens. I think either way, like what you, like you said, whatever works for you, if you need to hold yourself a little more accountable this year and make sure that you meet those goals, then that's important to have written goals that you can look back on. Like, did I do this? Did I not? I
think it's kind of like applying pressure to myself. I feel like that's what, it, you know, will work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people work great under pressure.
Yeah. I think I'm one of those.
Yeah. So
single people,
how do single, what is a helpful way for someone that's single to navigate the holidays?
Enjoy your own company. I think that we get to, you know, I think if we go into like the dating aspect of it, cuffing season, right? Is that what
it's cuffing summer?
You're
season.
Single and you're like, you know, you're enjoying it. And then by the time that we get to, you know, where it starts to get cold and cozy, we want to start, you know, cuffing season and trying to, you know, have matching PJs and pumpkin patch dates. And I think it's okay to
Christmas lights.
I think it's okay to be alone in the holidays and enjoy like the festivities of it. Yes, I know you're going to see everybody with their couples or their families or, you know, and it can get a little sad and a little lonely. But I think this is where like the Friendsgiving and the gift exchange with your friends come in and, you know, and learning to just kind of do things on your own. Like I really want to do a solo Christmas Disney trip by myself to Disneyland. So I want to see what that's about, you know.
Yeah.
During the holidays because I have time, but during the holidays.
That's definitely like a good experiment, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just learning to be alone in all types of situations, even in the holidays, because you feel lonelier during the holidays, right? But I think that would be a challenge, you know, to see if you can not, you don't have to settle for any cuffing PJ matching person.
Yeah, it's better to be
just
alone.
Because you don't want to be alone, you know.
It's better to be alone and then in bad company just because you wanted to have someone there for the holidays,
right?
Like, okay, first of all, like, you're creating memories during this time. Like, you really want to hold that special to you and not just give your time and energy to someone just because you don't want to be alone.
Right. And my thing is, like, you know, people are creating memories with family, with friends. Learn to create memories with yourself. Look, I mean, I love to record and take pictures of everything. So I'm sure that if I look back at me going alone somewhere, I'll probably laugh at that and be like, I had a good time, you know? So I think it's just giving yourself that adventure. Yes.
Yeah, the adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that.
But that's coming from someone that's been single for only 2 years. Someone, you know, like that's been single probably a little bit more period of time does get a little more lonelier during these times because maybe they're ready to settle down or, you know, I just think.
Yeah, maybe they want like a family.
Right.
And they don't have that family that they wanted yet.
Right.
Yeah, so I can definitely see how that would be like a hard time, but like maybe Look, it can go either way, right? Maybe you use the holidays as like an opportunity or a little push to like get out there if you haven't been getting out there. Maybe get out there a little bit more, you know, with a little more intention, with a little more purpose of like what you want ultimately, you know. And yes, if you're in bad company, like don't create those memories with them. But, you know, what if you're in good company? And you do want to do all these fun, special things. Like, have fun with that.
Yes.
Live your life.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you prioritize self-care when the holidays are so busy? Like,
it's hard to.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
So do you just have to sacrifice your self-care during the holidays?
I mean, you try to with the time that you can schedule around it. But I think personally for me, because my schedule is so chaotic. Example, I haven't had time to go to the gym all week. I had time today. I had a gap and it was like literally like 30-40 minutes of just to work out, but I made it happen. So I think it's prioritizing your time accordingly. And sometimes we do have to sacrifice self-care. And, you know, because my thing is like I'm busier during the holidays, so I have to work more. So it takes away from self-care. So, and then I have my children who probably are on vacation or like, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. So for me personally, as a single full-time mom, I have to sacrifice self-care during the holidays. I try my best though to work around it because it keeps me sane.
Yeah.
But I probably, instead of going to the gym 4 or 5 times out of the week, I'll probably go once to twice. So it's just, you know.
It's a give and take for sure. But also the idea of what was self-care can change around the holidays. Like you can be like, oh, you know, maybe I'm spending like just time wrapping gifts or something.
Oh, for sure. Like in silence. Like the other day I was like, I had been very overstimulated. I've had a crazy schedule and I've been up and down and literally all I wanted was just a hot shower in silence. That was self-care. Literally, that was self-care. I was like, this is all I want. Please just give it to me. An hour of silence. Or just, so it can be the smallest things. Maybe it's not this self-care that you're used to during the year, you know,
because
the holidays are more crazy. So
yeah, it's a different.
It's the small things.
Yeah, it's the small things. Mm-hmm. And it's a different time of the year.
For sure.
And so just adapt with that. Self-care might look different than what you're used to. Maybe it's like self-care is drinking like a hot chocolate with your family or your kids.
Right.
Just bonding, doing little things. Okay, what's a holiday tradition or habit you want to leave behind this year?
Holiday tradition or habit? The gift giving.
Okay.
I want to leave behind the gift giving because I feel like what we talked about earlier, it's turned a lot into materialistic and people have forgotten what the holidays are truly about. So yeah. I kind of want to bring that back into my home. Well, not back, but I want to bring that into my home because I was caught up in the whole materialistic thing. If I look at my previous years, it was about like gift giving and material things and, you know, how many gifts can I give my kids and my nieces and my nephews? As opposed to this year, I would like to give, if I am giving gifts, I want it to be meaningful gifts. Mm-hmm. And of course, what they want as well. But my thing is focusing more on the family gatherings and time, the valuable, important things, which is quality time.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that as well. I think if you remove the gift giving, it would, you know, probably a lead back in the direction of like what the holidays are probably supposed to be more about and not getting so much caught up on like time and energy spent on like finding the perfect gift or like, I do think, you know, there are some kids and like growing up and all of that, like the gifts are important. Yeah. Like the idea of Santa Claus and all of that is
for
important.
Sure.
I think, you know, you have to just know your household, what you want to implement, what you can do, be honest with yourself and what kind of traditions and expectations that you can manage for your family. And if you need to change it, then you need to change it. And just having those difficult conversations with your family or your kids that, you know, this year is not going to be like last year. And this will be a new tradition we set moving forward.
For sure.
Yeah. I know you mentioned like one of the new traditions you want to create is like kind of like a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
More based on like memories and experiences. Sure. I think that's beautiful. Shifting gears a little bit. So people who are going through the holiday season, newly separated or newly single, this is a different experience for them than, you know, what they've experienced in the past. How do they manage that? How do they get through a holiday season with those changes?
It's all about adapting to the new life change.
The new normal.
Yeah, it's about adapting and creating your new traditions, adjusting to the changes that come with a separation or, you know, a divorce or a breakup. Especially during the holidays, you know, because I'm sure they did a lot of things together. So it's an adjustment for sure.
Yeah, totally. I think remembering why you're now in this position,
mm-hmm.
and remembering that, you know, hard times are only temporary and that you can get through this.
Right.
And, you know, lean on your family, your friends for support. You know, reach out for help if you need it. You know,
this is where your community and your support system come in. And if you don't have one, this is where your strength is tested for sure.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you don't have that support system, well then I'm sorry, I feel for you. Does it mean that you can't go out there and create that? You can volunteer, you can you know, go out and help others, especially during this time. You know, giving back can be something really fulfilling. And if you are not able to do that, well then that's okay too. Just knowing that it may be a tough time, but it will get better. And with the start of a new year comes a new start, a fresh start, new things. And do your best to get excited for what's to come, because, you know, honestly, anything is possible. And perhaps it's a time to reshift your focus on good things that are coming. Okay, what about the kids? How do you... because not only for the adults, but like in a separation, the kids are affected too, right?
For sure.
And we were talking about like us as adults having to go to like different households. Well, the kids have to split their time up as well, right?
Right. If there's mom and dad that are co-parenting, they have to decide who's what holidays with who, or what day are we doing with who, and I'm sure that's tough for the children having to split that time. I think during Christmas it's probably fun for them because they get double gifts, but I think in reality, mm-hmm. it's also, you know, stressful and emotional and confusing as to what the new norm is, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe them. I think as a parent, I think it's really helpful to over-communicate during the holiday season. This time of the year specifically, like you said, it can be very confusing. So it's important to like over-communicate with your kids and make them feel safe and welcome wherever they are, for wherever sure. they're going, and do your best to put them at ease, because yeah, it's going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Some parents even like fight over where their kids are going to spend the holidays.
Sure. For sure.
They're like, no, you had Thanksgiving, I want Christmas. And it's like, it's overwhelming for the kids. And that shouldn't be put on them, right?
And you know what? I'll be honest. I feel beyond blessed that these past 2 years, I'm able to have my children full time because they didn't get to experience that abrupt co-parenting. And I'm able to ease them into what may be the future. But as of right now, I have control of the traditions, the changes, the adjustments. And I feel like sometimes as full-time parents, it gets overwhelming, especially during the holidays. And I'll tell you, it is overwhelming. But it's also worth it because you don't have to go through that. And your children don't have to go through the break and the separation of, do I go with dad? Do I go with mom? The co-parenting fighting back and forth. And the, you know, my fear is not knowing where they're going if they were to be with the other parent and if they're safe. Mm-hmm. So I feel blessed in the sense that, you know, I have that control at the moment and my children are getting older. So they're learning, you know, to speak up when they don't feel comfortable or things like that. So for me, these past 2 years as being a single mom and full-time mom, I feel like that's a perk that I have and not many parents get to have that. So I feel blessed in that sense where I have that control. Yes, it is overwhelming and it's exhausting and is a full-time job, but it's worth knowing that, you know, my kids are safe and I'm at peace with that.
Yeah, totally. That is a huge blessing. And but like you said, it's hard still because you have to manage all that extra time with your children.
Oh, for sure. There's, I mean, holiday activities, pumpkin patch, lights, you know, the Thanksgiving, like, traditions. Like, it's a full-time go. Kids are on vacation, so you have to, you know, arrange. I have to arrange my time around that. Like, it's a full-time job.
Yeah,
it's not meant to be easy. It's overwhelming, but you know what? It can be done with, you know, a couple of crash-out sessions and crying moments in the car, and but it gets done.
Hey, do what you gotta do, right?
Do what you gotta do
to make it through.
Especially if you don't have time for self-care, you're definitely gonna like lose your shit, but it's okay. Lose your shit and then keep it pushing.
Yeah, so, lose it.
Yeah,
why not?
Exactly. Cry that out. It's okay. Yell that out, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever you have to do to get yourself in a good place. Beyond the holidays, stepping into a new year, how can you make sure that your kids still feel supported, right? Do you want to start making those changes in a separation?
What do you mean?
Like, sorry. If you're newly separated.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through a lot of changes.
For sure.
How do you continue that on into the new year? Making sure they feel supported and loved.
I mean, allowing them to be heard. That's been one of my biggest ones, is allowing them to speak on their emotions, building that trust and that safe space for them to communicate. If they're old enough, if they're younger, you know, kids can throw tantrums or can act out after a separation, and just paying attention to that. I feel like as adults, we get so caught up in the separation of our emotions as well, and maybe the heartbreak or the chaos that's surrounding the divorce or separation, that we kind of forget about the children. And I think that we need to prioritize the children because they're the ones. Imagine if you're going through your own emotions and it's chaos in there and, you know, you're having meltdowns, breakdowns. Imagine the children that don't understand what's going on.
Mm.
We just separated. We're not together. It's broken. Maybe you don't explain to them or they don't understand or they heard and it's just, you know, crazy. But I think as parents, we need to stop being selfish, and it's okay to have our emotions and we can have our time for that. But I think it's to prioritize the children during these hard times. With my children, my little one was complaining about bone aches all the time. She was sick. she would like hear things, like they act out in different ways. They show you, even though they may not speak to you, if you pay close attention, they will show you that they're not okay, or they will show you that, you know, something's going on. So I think it's just making sure that you pay attention to them and you try to be there for them.
Yeah.
Honestly, because as adults, we will learn and we will move on and we will grow and we will heal and we will, you know, we will find a way one way or another. But I think the children, if you really think about it, what do they have? School, home.
And the love of their parents.
And the love of their parents. So we have to prioritize our children during these hard times and, you know, like adjust, help them adjust.
Yeah. Pour into their cups.
Mm-hmm. And remember, children, I think a lot of people live with children are seen and not heard. No, children should be heard. They should be, you know, you should listen and see how they're acting out or how, what, you know, what they're going through and learn how to be there.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's hard, but, you know, it's growth. It's literally about growth. Like, it's not easy for anybody, but imagine those little kids with their little hearts. And, you know, they're confused. They already don't know how to express emotion. And us as adults, sometimes we don't know how to express emotion. So I feel like imagine them.
Yeah. Right?
So figuring out as a parent, because you're responsible for them, you brought them here. So how to, you know, cater to their needs and how to help with the adjustment of the new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And things are changing, right? New concerns come up, and like being able to adapt and look, think outside of the box
for sure.
And you know, like the maybe this is a problem you haven't encountered before, maybe this is something new that's going on with them.
And you're going to have a lot of that during a separation or a divorce because it's new for you and it's new for them. You've maybe never been through it, maybe, so you don't know how to handle it. And every time might be different depending on, you know, the situation, but for sure.
Yeah. So keeping an open mind as to like what that healing period, transition period is going to look like, because you honestly have no idea.
And let's be honest here, like there's no such thing as balance, but you have to learn to try and balance everything, the separation, divorce, whatever. The emotions of yourself, maybe the courts, you know, the children, the schooling, everything. Like, you just have to be in everywhere. And I think for me, being able to stay busy and being a full-time mom and an entrepreneur keeps me busy. And it's allowed me to focus and prioritize on what's important. Of course, it's taking me some time. And I can tell you that last year to this year, I'm going to be single or separated 2 years now in January, and it's a huge transition from last year to this year. But I can tell you that I feel like I have it kind of figured out. Last year I was just moving on, just
more figured out.
Last year I was trying to do my best to keep things as not as hard. It was definitely hard for sure. But, you know, I started my own new traditions. Normally we would go to his mom and we would go to my mom for Thanksgiving now because there's situation, no contact right now. But I started, you know, cooking my own Thanksgiving meal. So that's new. I did, that's something that I did for them because they wanted, you know, some of their grandmother on that side's food and my food. You know, we're Mexican. My mom cooks tamales and pozole or menudo or whatever that's, you know, Mexican. And on his side, it was more American. So I went and cooked a whole American feast and I got down. So this is my second year doing that. And it's traditions that I am creating for my new ones, for my children, and just trying to prioritize, you know, keeping them busy and, you know, being there as much as I can with the time that I have.
Yeah. And I like how you're creating your own traditions. That's really empowering. And like you're kind of recreating new memories, things that they're going to look forward to. And like you still stepped up and, you know, you made it beautiful in your own way.
I tried. You know, my children are used to, on his side of the family, there's a lot of cousins, a lot. There's like 10, 12 cousins. And that they're used to like the kids. And last year was the first time that it was just on my side of the family. I'm the only one that has children. So it's just them too. So that was a huge adjustment for them. That's where they were kind of like, I miss my cousins. And it was hard. So I try to like create games and like, you know, look at TikTok and try to figure out how I can do things. I'm doing things.
Make it fun.
For sure. I'm doing things that I probably never have done before, but I'm open to doing. For them, I started Elf on the Shelf, which I probably would have never done before. And I have my own reasons why. But, you know, so I'm doing things that I normally wouldn't do to try to make it easier for them, and not have them think about the sad part of the holidays after a separation or divorce, you know.
And it's okay to have moments of sadness. That's totally
it is.
That's totally okay. And that's totally human. But not letting that overwhelm you and not staying in that place of sadness.
And I think it's okay to you know, speak to your children and give them that time and that safe space to allow them to cry it out. Like, it's okay if you miss your dad, or it's okay if you miss, you know, maybe they're grieving somebody that passed away. It's okay to cry that out. Like, I don't understand how I used to be one of those parents that used to be like, don't cry. It's okay. You're gonna be fine. And now it's like, that's an emotion. It's okay. Yeah. Allow them to cry that out. They need to release that. They're gonna feel so much better after.
Yeah. And the alternative, which is like, okay, hold it in. Like, that is not good for anyone.
No, not even as adults. Remember, you have all that built up. I've learned that. I was like the queen of doing that. But now it's like I'm okay with allowing whatever emotion I'm feeling, and I'm learning to regulate and control my emotions. It has not been easy, especially coming from a very toxic, unhealthy relationship. To regulate my emotions, it's a lot of work. And I've been a year in therapy, and I still have a lot of triggers. But it's a work in progress, and you know, it's just something that you work on every day. It's learning what those triggers are and how to deal with those so you don't lose your shit or crash out or whatever.
Yeah just riding that wave of healing for sure, because it is a wave.
And I think about it, everything's new. You're single, so everything's new. You know, maybe you're a full-time mom, or maybe you're learning to co-parent, you know. Everything's new, so it's okay. Just you're learning. Give yourself grace.
Yeah. And just accept that everything's gonna feel new and different, and
it is gonna be sad, and it's, you are gonna be mourning, and there is, all those emotions are valid. Maybe you miss that person, it's valid.
Yeah,
you miss the family dynamic, it's valid.
Absolutely. Yeah,
give yourself that, but you don't get back up and keep going.
Yeah, remember the beauty in the new freedom you have too, though.
For sure.
Yeah, like you said, you're making all these new traditions. They're entirely up to you. You can make them whatever you want them to be.
Let me tell you, and I'll be very vulnerable and transparent here. You know, I closed my business down last year. I am a full-time single mom. And I have learned to step back from work, because I was a workaholic, where to the point where I have realized this year that I lacked as a mother being there for my children. I was not a bad parent, but I wasn't a present parent. So I have learned to gain my daughter's trust and be their safe space, because I was absent a lot. I worked a lot. I have learned that, you know, I was a mother that was a provider, but I wasn't a present mother. And I remember I used to tell I used to tell myself, I am going to be a present mom, not just a mom. And I did the total opposite when I started my business because I submitted myself to my business. Not only was it my escape from my issues, but I submitted to the growth of my business. And this year has taught me, I've stepped back from my business. So financially, I haven't been where I used to be. But I'll be honest with you, it's allowed me to have space to build a relationship with my children, to see where I was lacking prior, to see what how I can be there for them now, and to build that relationship that we didn't have prior. Because yes, I was a mom, but I wasn't a present mom. And, you know, due to the circumstances and the relationship that I was in, it didn't allow me to be there either when I was home. So I learned where I was absent at a lot and where I lacked as a mother. And now I'm able to be present. But I'll be honest with you, it's been like, this has been like the most mental, emotional, and the brokest year of my life, but it's been the happiest, most peaceful of my life. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show you that materialistic aren't all things. I had a pretty good lifestyle. I built a business. I had a lot of successes. But you know what? The true meaning, what this has taught me, the true meaning is we as adults have already had our trauma that we choose to work on, heal or not. And our children do not get to choose that. We have to choose that for them. So it's up to us to set the example and show them. Maybe I'm not saying it right, but how we want it's where our children's childhood, where our children's. So if they're in an unhealthy home, that's what you're teaching your children. That's how they're going to grow up to think that it's okay. So remember that we are their childhood. As their parents, they will learn everything through us that they will teach to their children, or they will apply in their relationship. Friendships, relationships, whatever it may be at school. So just keep that in mind that, you know, and I think my priorities here is, yes, I'm working on myself. Yes, I'm healing. But at the same time, my priority is to raise good young women that know their emotions, that can create boundaries, know what respect is and what they will and will not tolerate that is okay or not okay. And having that relationship with them and communication, because your children just want to be heard. They just want your time.
Yeah.
They do. It's the simple things. Life is so simple, but we make it so not simple.
Yeah. And kids just want to be loved. They want to feel loved. They want to feel seen. They want to feel safe. And as parents or adults in this world, our job is to protect kids and help them grow. And, you know, because they will be adults one day and they will shape the world, right?
For sure. And that is based on their childhood. How they grew up is based on their childhood. Think about it. How you grew up is molded you into who you are.
Yeah. Core trauma that shapes us as individuals comes from childhood. And patterns, negative patterns that we keep repeating, shows up from things that we have seen.
Correct. And let's keep this in mind. Not everyone can turn their trauma into them to be molded into someone better. Some people aren't mentally strong enough to outgrow the trauma.
Yeah, I feel like some trauma is very severe. It goes on for, it went on for just a really extended time, or the type of trauma is just very, very severe, significant. I do believe people can change with the right help and support. Sometimes you need to find professional help to be able to make those changes. But where there's a will, there's a way. You just have to want to make that change. And it's possible. It might take a while, but it is very possible. Everything's within your reach if you want to go ahead and take it. With all the changes going on, are you finding it difficult to avoid triggers like songs, places?
Okay, that's a good one. I'll be honest with you.
For example,
last year, I kind of went full force with my thing is I rather build memories over the old memories than wait and go up to a place and then experience that nostalgia, right? Is that what it would be? Of an example. I like to do a lot of things that we used to do as a family now together. So I will go back and revisit a place that we used to, or I would go back and do something that we used to. But now this is now the new norm. And I know that sometimes it's tough to do that and people avoid places or songs or things so they don't get hurt. But sometimes you need to feel that. And I'd rather feel that now than feel that 2 years from now where it might create it might not feel good. And maybe I'm healed at that time and it might not hit good. But to me, I prefer to, you know, do what we used to do and overshadow that with new memories of us. This is our family now that used to be. We're going to keep those memories. Those are core memories. But this is what we're doing now. And of course, you're going to feel those emotions and it's okay, you know, but I rather, for me, that's what I've done. So I've done Disneyland, which was a tradition that since my oldest was four, she's 14. So that one was a hard one the first time, but it was just the three of us. Now it's so much fun. Songs for sure. You know, movies. Places, movies, things like that. It's, you know, life keeps going and you got to teach your children. It's okay to feel that, and build that strength as well. And, you know, you can overcome it and move forward.
Yeah. I actually really respect that you go out of your way to go back to these places and you say, no, I'm going to make a new memory here. And it's not going to be tainted. It's just going to be new. It's going to be different. It's going to feel different. It is different. But doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing these things that I love.
No.
And let, you know,
old memories.
Yeah, get in the way of me finding happiness now. Mm-hmm. So I respect that.
Thank you.
What's one thing you're excited to explore or do for yourself in the next few months or in the coming year? Being on year three of being separated, what's something that you're looking forward to?
I'm actually looking forward to 2025, I'll be honest with you. So last year, the first year is the hardest year after a separation because everything's completely new and you're adjusting and there's chaos because of, you know, the separation and things like that. The children, you, them, learning how to, you know, work things around and balance things around. Some people go from, you know, they break up and then they'll try it again. And they'll realize that it didn't, you know, work.
It wasn't working for them.
So I think by the second year, it gets easier because you have a rhythm going. You have, you're learning, you're adjusting. You've already done, you know, the hardest part, which is the first year. For me, this year has been tough emotionally, mentally, because I am grieving what used to be my old life. Last year, I didn't have time, mental or emotional capacity for that. It was very crazy. But this year, I'm feeling all of that now. And but I do have a routine. I have, you know, I feel like I figured it out of balancing single mom, entrepreneur mom, and so I think for me this year coming up is focusing on growing my business again. I have the mental, emotional capacity now that I didn't have this year or last year, so I'm looking forward to growing my business and getting back into that mindset because I feel like I'm ready. This year was, you know, being mom, dedicating myself to, you know, learning I seen, learning to balance having a social life, work, and my children, because that is my new norm. and just prioritizing the balance, or not balance, but, you know, life, the new life that I am in, and letting go of what used to be. So I am very excited for 2025 because I feel like myself, except 2.0. Like, I feel like that hustler, entrepreneur, businesswoman is back, and I am excited to focus on everything. You know, I'm in a good place with my children. I am in a good place mentally, emotionally. Of course, the healing is continuous and the work that I have is continuous, but I feel like I finally am at peace. I am the happiest and peace, the most peaceful I've ever been. And I think that it's only going to get better from here. And the first year or two is the hardest, but it gets better and you will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned peace. What was discovering peace like for you, and when did you discover peace?
I want to say probably, I'll be honest with you, like, this month has been so peaceful and happiness. Like, yeah, of course, they go to chaos. Yeah, I'm overstimulated. Yeah, you know. But peace for me was being in a good place with my children, learning to allow things that I can't control go and letting them be. Learning that I shouldn't give my energy to things that don't make me happy or don't provide anything positive in my life. And I think just allowing things to be and just focusing on the things that I can control. And peace is calmness.
Yeah.
Peace is quiet. Peace is me being in control of what I can be in control. Peace is, for me, there's no chaos.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think peace is like, peace can be anything you make it, except for when chaos is present, right? When chaos is present, chaos is opposite of peace. So if there's any sort of chaos in the picture, what you're experiencing is not peace.
No.
And I think your body, your mind, your soul knows when you're at peace and knows when you're finally able to relax and feel safe, even a little bit. And your body tells you you're not in fight or flight.
Yes, I think that I will admit to you, this month was where I wasn't like that, where I wasn't on fight or flight, where I wasn't on high alert, where I was calm, where I was at peace, where, like, and I think it kind of set in where I seen you have this, like, you're able to create this life of safety and happiness for my children. Building relationships with friends, building relationships with my family, learning to create boundaries and apply them, learning what my triggers are, and not allowing the chaos that still continues to disturb that, and learning that I am still in control and I can keep that at a peace because I'm not going to give it energy.
Yeah, you can put it in a box and just lock it up, and, you know, it doesn't deserve time, energy,
yeah,
or any of that. On that note, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this episode.
Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, episode 7. And, you know, I know it's a little bit of a kind of episode. It can be a little hard sometimes talking about things like that, but we hope that, you know, it helped a few of you guys, and that's what's worked for me. It may not work for everybody, but that's the way that I've, you know, learned to cope and adjust with my new life and my children and being a full-time mom and being an entrepreneur and juggling everything. And it's okay to lose your shit, but you got to keep it going.
Yeah, and, you know, life isn't easy.
It's not going to be.
You
just learn to adjust to it.
Right. The life is always going to be, as they say, lifing, right? Life always happens. All we can do is our best to manage it, keep ourselves sane and take care of ourselves so we have the capacity to move forward. We're wishing you guys all a very peaceful, happy,
joyous,
blessed holiday season. And
stay tuned for episode 8.
Yeah, stay tuned for our next episode. And
thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.